This is a poem called Drones and Phantoms. It's the title poem from that collection. This particular poem is partly about Julia Gillard, and it does need to be remembered that when she was in office, she proposed the Malaysian solution, cut allowances for single mothers and supported American foreign policy. Gillard said her hair would look uncontrollable if she made a disc jockey's Rolls-Royce Phantom convertible her work car. McTernan ordered her shaking PR team to emulate General Patton, shoot the opposition first. Obama says his drones are needed to destroy the opposition overseas, includes Americans who are a direct threat, but adds other target threats can be less direct. Gillard said her hair would go wild in a Rolls, that she would look like Cousin It. Obama says use of drones will be now under more control in case he lost the power to use them, as Bush lost torture and rendition, stray sop to public opinion, while some other indirect country considers surrender, and its teasing leader's unlucky hairdresser gives up. This is the second poem from Drones and Phantoms. And it's called So That's Who Those Motorbikes Were, and I was thinking of it recently because of the latest royal wedding. Mother Teresa woke up near Princess Diana and a particularly beautiful part of Wimbledon Common, near where the old Spencer house had stood. Diana did not usually brood, however, now she was wistfully stilly alone, and Teresa sat beside her. Diana did not often talk of her murder, except at the inquest and occasionally laughing she'd been topped, but she seemed serious now and finally said, "So that's who those motorbikes were. I remember the Fiat that hit the car and the huge light that flashed and how long I was kept bleeding in the ambulance and thought the press had only cars except one, so who were the motorbikes? But that it was the SAS as such seemed so crude somehow." Teresa understood Diana's fear of crudity. They both the most vulnerable of creatures, but she felt in herself a flinching away from the idea of Diana dying. Diana still the most living thing for her. Teresa, who had been so compelled to deathbeds in her life, she knew that she should pay heed to this deathbed again, but fought a compulsion to cheer Diana up, did say, "My darling, it is wonderful news about William giving up his uniform to be more with his baby and to rescue elephants." Elephants, and a baby of course, were exactly what Diana had wanted for that son, but she still worried about Harry, who had killed so many in Afghanistan that she'd had to urge him back to her landmine charity, although in truth that odd discrepancy had never been sorted out. But elephants, her eyes were like stars at sea again at Teresa's comfort. She knew the last thing Teresa needed psychologically was to process another deathbed, but with no one could she converse more easily. And the old browned hand was so practiced at soothing any doubts except her own. Diana asked, "It surely wasn't Dodie who made them paranoid. It must have been the landmines, and the fact that I was aiming for all their other salesmen after that. The landmines were just the start." Teresa laughed. "You did not do pacifism by halves, my dearest princess. But yes, I think Dodie was the least of their worries. Perhaps he was an excuse to make the murder seem less plausible, or just what they call collateral damage. But we must mourn for all who love us, as..." At last she found the words, "hand in hand in the wildflower garden. We will now mourn for ourselves." They clung together for a long time, nodded to and fro, until a revived Diana asked Teresa what she knew of elephants.